We are gathered here this morning in remembrance of Ruth Sligo Gross and also to worship God. That's what we do when we have a memorial service. And as a call to worship, I will read from 1 Corinthians 15, verses 55 through 58. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the life of Ruth Gross, who touched us all. And Father, we pray now as we remember her, and as we honor you, as we worship you, that you would be with us. We pray that your Son, our Lord Jesus, would be with us, and that your Holy Spirit would be with us as well. Help us now as we sing, as we remember Ruth, as we praise you, as we consider the things that we should consider today, that in all these things, as we do them, that we would honor you, that we would remember Ruth as well, and honor her memory and who she is. And Father, we pray that we might know the things that she knew and do some of the things that she did as she sought to serve you. And Father, we thank you for this day, and we pray you'd be with us now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We will sing to start this service. Ruth always wanted to glorify God. She was like me, a Presbyterian, and the Presbyterians have as their statement of faith the Westminster Shorter Catechism, and it starts with this question: what is the chief end of man? And it answers that man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. When Ruth was here on earth, she glorified God. And now she's starting to enjoy him, and she will forever. Let us sing, to God be the glory, great things he has done. It's in the bulletin here, the words. To God be the glory, great things he has done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life an atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he has done. Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of God, to every believer the promise of God. The vilest offender who truly believes, that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he has has done. Great things he has taught us, great things he has done, and great our rejoicing to Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport, when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he has done. I will read a passage of Scripture. It's one of many I knew was one of Ruth's favorites. I know that because I brought it up to her one time and talked to her about it, but I can't remember what was said because it happened so many times we talked about Scripture. But this Scripture is 2 Corinthians 2, verses 14 through 17. Now thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one we are the aroma of death leading to death, and to the other, the aroma of life leading to life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not as many peddling the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as from God, we speak in the sight of God in Christ. In my first church as a full-time pastor, I performed as many weddings as I did funerals. In my current church, I've performed far more funerals than weddings. Most of the people are older, and I've noticed now, more recently, I'm performing more memorial services than in the past. Our not only has my life and church situation changed, but our culture has changed. Many people are cremated now, and so we end up having memorial services instead of funerals. And at a memorial service, just like a funeral, I always preach a sermon, and that's what I'm going to do now. But this is not an ordinary sermon. This is a sermon eulogy combination, because not only am I preaching about God and mentioning Ruth, but I think I'm the one here that's known her the longest, and so I will say things about her life. Sometimes I preach just the sermon and we have a family member who knows her much better than I would that would do the eulogy, and yet I've known Ruth for 20 years, and so that's a good amount of time. I came to Florida in 1998, and I met Ruth's son, Dr. Ralph Gross, and her daughter-in-law, Mrs. Joyce Gross, and they were one of the first people, families, to invite me to their home for dinner. Now, that's been a long time, and I don't remember for sure, but I'm pretty sure Ruth was there with that family when I met them that first time. I remember a big table with a lot of people, but Ruth hadn't had an impact on my life at that point. I was coming down here. I had been a pastor in Maine, and my wife had left me. And when a pastor's wife leaves him and she committed adultery and went to another man, it usually ends his ministry. Oftentimes it does. And that's what happened to me. My ministry ended then. And the Gross family were one of the first that were kind to me, good to me. Well, I joined First Presbyterian, and part of the reason, not the only reason, if you ever go to that church, all the people are friendly. You have a lot of Ruth Gross types, if you can imagine that. And they all were friendly there. The first thing, though, I remember about Ruth was just shortly after I became pastor. Our pastor that was there when I started, he didn't do very well with the church and had to leave. And they asked me to take over, and I did about 2004. And some of you remember something that happened in 2004, if you were here, was Hurricane Charley. Now, Hurricane Charley destroyed the condominium I was living in with my children, and it also destroyed the Gross family's home. And so both of us, myself and my children and the Gross family, including Ruth, were scrambling around looking for homes. And Ralph Gross was busy at our church as well as I was. We helped the people because our church happened to be just outside of the hurricane area. We weren't part of the hurricane where the church was, just where our houses were, because we were in Port Charlotte and not in Northport. Well, I hadn't yet found the house where I would move to in Northport at the time. And I don't remember if Ruth and Ralph and them, Joyce and them, had found a home at that point yet either. But Ruth came to me one day as a new pastor, and she says, "With everything going on, I think you and your children need to go to Disney World." And she gave us $300 to help us to go to Disney World during the hurricane, during not that hurricane itself, but the aftermath of it. And that was my first real experience with Ruth, being generous. And it's part of why I picked this passage. "Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ." And right now, Ruth has experienced the ultimate triumph in heaven. "And through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing." And Ruth, to me, when she gave me that gift, and I've had opportunities to do kind things for her too, that was her being the fragrance of Christ to me and to my family. Philippians 2, verses 1 through 4 says, "Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if there is any comfort of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look not only for his own interests, but also for the interest of others." Ruth could have got busy with her own interests when they didn't have a house, but she was thinking of me and my children. She looked out for the interests of others. My next experience that I remember with Ruth was visiting her in the hospital. And I did that several times because as a pastor, and she was a missionary, and she had pastors in her family, she knew I was supposed to do that. And she'd always call me before she went to the hospital. I'd pray with her before she'd go in, and then I would visit her like I do all the people. And one time she had surgery, and I don't remember what year this was. But I was with her right after she woke up out of surgery. And she told me that she had what people now call a near-death experience. And she told me about her family and her husband and the different family members that she saw in heaven. And she was so excited about this, to tell me this. She talked about an hour. And I had gone, you know, usually when you go to the hospital, somebody is sick. Well, she was sick, but she was she was happier than ever she'd ever been, because she had seen heaven. She saw her family members there. A few years later, maybe a year or so later, I'm not sure how many years later, we had a Sunday school class at church, and we discussed different things. And somebody brought up near-death experiences. Pastor, do you believe when people tell these things about going to heaven and coming back, is that real or not? Well, I said, you should ask Ruth, because I talked to her when she had just come back from heaven while she was in the hospital. And when I said that, Ruth didn't remember it at all. She didn't remember that experience. And I started telling her, well, you said this about this person in your family and that, and at the time I had remembered it better. I don't remember every detail now. But she knew that I had talked to her about family members that I would not have known if she hadn't told me at that point. Later, though, I got to know her better, even better than that, when she started coming here to River Commons. And almost immediately, she wanted to minister to the people here. Ruth, as you know, I'm sure most of you know this, was a missionary in Africa. I know even in our Bible study, she would on occasions tell about different aspects of being in Africa and here. And you may have heard her testimony. I believe she was 37 years old when she became a real Christian. She tells about going to church and even going to church for many years, but not really deep in her heart knowing Christ. And she was burdened in her heart because she felt that there were many people that were just like her. They might go to church, they might go through the motions of knowing Christ, but not really know Him. And so that's why, I don't know, I know all of you, in some ways she probably talked to you about Jesus at one point or another. She would get you at lunchtime or another time, and she would talk about Jesus. I know that because, as it says in this passage about being a fragrance of Christ, it says, and through us diffuses the fragrance of His knowledge in every place. And when I saw Ruth, that's what she was always doing. A couple times I took her to the doctor or to the hospital, and she would say to the doctor or the nurse or whoever else was there, "This is my pastor." And she'd introduce me by name. And then she'd say, "I was a missionary." And she'd introduce herself. And then she said, "This is the person I really want you to know, my Lord Jesus Christ." And she would talk about the salvation she had in Christ. I took her to a watch fixer because she had some broken watches and other jewelry. And when I took her there, first thing she does, "Do you know Jesus?" she says to the man. And she always talked that way. And when she spoke that way, sometimes it irritated people. People would get mad because she would say things like that. She pushed Jesus on them. I remember my own time before coming to Christ. I was in college. I was only 20 years old. But I remember certain people would knock on my door. They'd talk about Jesus. And I thought, before I knew Jesus, I thought, I wouldn't be like them. I'd be more relaxed, and I wouldn't be out in people's faces like they were. And that's what Ruth was like. She was out in people's faces. But then I became a Christian, and I became just like the people I thought I'd never be like. I became somebody who was out in people's faces and even a pastor. And I believe that's the best way to be. Here's where the sermon starts mixing with the eulogy. Now here it says, in 2 Corinthians 2, verse 14, it says, "Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ." In triumph over our trials, in triumph over our difficulties. Sometimes it doesn't seem like we're in triumph all the time. Even with Jesus, when he was nailed on the cross, that definitely didn't seem like triumph, but it was. And Jesus, the thief on the cross, and Ruth Gross are all in heaven right now, triumphing in Christ. This is not a sad thing to do, a memorial service like this. We may miss her, but she is in, as I know we all heard this, a better place. She's in heaven. She's in that triumphal place. It says in this passage, "Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place." And as I've already told you, that's what Ruth did. Wherever she went, she wanted to diffuse the fragrance of his knowledge. You could probably tell I go to restaurants a lot. And I have a friend, a waitress, right? I give good tips, so I make waitress friends, or waiter friends, both. And this waitress friend, she always wears this nice perfume. And I sometimes compliment her. It really smells nice.
What's the name of it?
I don't remember.
Oh, okay.
But
I was thinking the same.
I don't remember Ruth wearing much perfume, but she did wear the fragrance of Christ wherever she went. She was always ready to talk to you about Jesus, or to talk to whoever she met about Jesus. And we all who are Christians, if we're going to remember something about Ruth, I hope that's one thing you remember. And not only remember, that you might, but you might also follow her example in that. Know Jesus well enough that you can talk about him to whoever you meet. It goes on, Paul says, "For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing." And it's true. Not everybody that we talk to or who Ruth talked to is going to go to heaven. We are the fragrance of Christ, and she was, to those who are saved and also to those who are perishing. It goes on, it says, "To the one we are the aroma of death, leading to death, and to the other, the aroma of life, leading to life." And when it says death there, you know, we all die. But it's talking about the second death, that leads to hell. And life means, it's talking about eternal life. And we who are Christians, if we know what Ruth was talking about, this life here on this earth is short. It's a whisper. It's going to be gone very soon. And we will all, every one of us, whether we're believers in Christ or not, we will all enter to eternity very soon. And we'll be going either to heaven or to hell. And the same is true about everyone who works in and lives in this building, and everyone in this town, and everyone in Florida, and everyone in the world. We are all going to one place or the other. Amen. And we as Christians are to be the fragrance of Christ to everyone, whether they are saved or unsaved, whether they're on their way to heaven or whether they're on their way to hell. We don't know who's going where. We hope that our fragrance that we spread would lead many to life. But we don't know that either. It's a sad thing that the same sunshine and rain that God gives to bring up plants and flowers and fruit from the ground When it falls on manure, it just makes it stink. And our gospel, sometimes people accept it when they hear us talk about Jesus Christ, and sometimes they get angry. And that's what I've seen happen on occasions with Ruth. And maybe some of you. Maybe you've talked about Jesus to somebody and the response you got was not what you wanted. And yet, no matter what response we get, we're still called to show that fragrance of Christ. Now, this doesn't mean we're perfect. And Ruth wasn't perfect either. It's possible that people sometimes got mad at her for something that didn't have anything to do with Christ. Maybe it was her own fault. And that's the same with all of us, too. And I think that's why Paul says, and who is sufficient for these things? And none of us are sufficient. None of us are perfect like Jesus. But we're still called to be the fragrance of Christ. That's the high calling. And then he says at the end, verse 17, he says, for we are not, as so many, peddling the word of God, but as of sincerity. But as from God, we speak in the sight of Christ. I know that last line is especially true about Ruth. And whatever ministry she had here, she was sincere. She really wants people, or wanted people, to come to Christ to have salvation. I know from many, many times talking to her, she loved this place, River Commons. I'm pretty sure even if any of her sons would have asked her to go away from this place at the end of her life and go live with them, she actually would have said no. And part of that was because she loved all of you. And the other part was she felt that she had a ministry here. The fragrance of Christ's ministry. After she passed away, you know, I asked all of you whether you wanted me to continue here or not in this ministry that we have. It's not just my ministry, and it wasn't just Ruth's. And it was more Ruth's, I felt, than mine, because she was the one here living among you. And I've had ministries before at retirement homes, and usually I've had people working with me. And when somebody leaves, it's important, like Ruth passing away. Sometimes the ministry shrinks down and it becomes less and less because there's nobody here to be here when I'm not here. I can't be here all week. And I'm praying that won't happen. I'm hoping that you all will do some of what Ruth did, that you will be the fragrance of Christ in this place. If there were some people here that didn't know the Lord, I know Ruth would want me at this time to make sure that you did. I've said it before. I've asked this question before. If you were to die tonight and God were to ask you, why should I let you into my heaven? What would you say? Well, I could say I was a pastor. Ruth might say she was a missionary in Africa. She gave up a very nice living situation with her husband, who was a dentist and making lots of money, and they both gave all that up and went. And if she said that was the reason that she should get into heaven, God would say no. And I know that is true, and it's what Ruth would want me to say. I know if God did ask Ruth that question, and if she does ask us, there's only one answer. Your Son, my Lord, Jesus Christ, He died for my sins, and He covered my sins with His blood, and they are washed away. And you should let me into your heaven because of what your Son did for me. And I want everybody here. I know Ruth would want everybody here to know that. And why is that? Because not only did she enjoy being with you here, but she knows she will enjoy much more you being with her in heaven. And that was her goal when she talked to you about Jesus. She wanted you to be with her when she went to heaven. And that should be our goal for all the people we meet. We want them to go with us. How do we do that? Well, we trust Christ alone, not only for our salvation, but when we look for other people, they are only going to be saved by Jesus. We make our calling and election sure, which means we study Scripture. We go to church if we can. If we can't, we come to studies like this. We endeavor to live as Christ called us to live, putting out that fragrance of Christ like Ruth tried to do. And when we commit sin, we confess it and ask Jesus to forgive us. And the Bible tells us He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So I ask you today, on behalf of Ruth, to share your faith and be the fragrance of Christ like Ruth was. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for Ruth. And I thank you for the memories that I have of her personally. And Father, I know too that there are others here who have memories of Ruth, things that she said to them, things that she may have done for them, things that they appreciate about her. And so, Father, as I close my part of this service and we go to the other part of this service where people share memories of Ruth, I pray you'd be with us now at this time and help us in this. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now this is the time I'm going to ask, is there anyone here who has a memory of Ruth or memories of Ruth that you'd like to share? And you can either share it standing or sitting where you are, or you can come up here. So anybody have a memory they'd like to share about Ruth Groves?
Well, every time I would see, meet her, I just loved the way she'd always do it so nicely about Jesus. And I love Jesus, and she would say such nice things. And she was so pleased that I always came to Bible class. She was always complimenting me. It was like, wow! You
know? Wonderful.
Honest, beautiful memories.
Yes.
She's very pleasant.
Uh-huh.
And right up front.
Yes. Yeah. She was pleasant, and she wasn't, she didn't beat around the bush, did
no.
she?
No.
Well, I can count her. Every morning, wherever you have services, there was that little piece of paper on my plate. Sure and cut.
Yes. She always did that, didn't she? She had that paper by.
She never left the place closed. She always said, be sure and come.
Yes, and I remember they told her not to do that just recently, right before she passed.
I know.
And she says, well, I'm just going to have to talk to each person personally. If
she
get to.
Yes. That last day.
Yes.
And what she's saying is very important. I just met her.
Uh-huh.
I haven't been here that long. But she was a very spiritual lady.
Yes.
Her spirit was very... I am a ordained evangelist, and so she said there's something about you that I like.
Well, an ordained evangelist and a missionary, they probably go together pretty well.
I said, I've been in the church most of my life. She said, well, I can kind of tell that. We just went back and forth, but the Spirit of the Lord was shining out on her, and I would love to talk to her. I didn't know her that long, but she grabbed my heart.
Wonderful.
Yeah, she just wanted. I said, Bible study is my life. Church is my life. So,
mine too, and that's why I got along with her.
That's what drew me close to her.
Yes.
Very nice lady.
Jen.
I guess because I'm a teacher, I can't talk if I don't.
Do you want to stand up here?
Oh, no, that's
okay.
Fine. But when I first came here, Ruth, of course... told me about the Bible study,
uh-huh.
and I started coming, and she would do things like give me some flowers. She put them by my door, and I'd open my door, and there'd be some flowers from Ruth.
That fits the fragrance of Christ.
Yes. And so one day I thought, well, I'll get some flowers at Winn-Dixie and bring them to Ruth. And I did. And we sat in her room and talked. And she was sitting in her electric wheelchair, but she got over into her recliner.
Uh-huh.
And I saw how very difficult and how very painful it was.
Yes.
But she didn't talk about that.
Uh-huh.
She talked about Jesus.
Yes.
And she was, you know, just determined to keep serving God.
Yes.
By putting those reminders on our table for Bible study, and she would just tell us about Jesus.
Oh, wonderful!
So,
well, you know, she's here right now.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, she's
just, yeah. Yeah, and she's probably very pleased.
Uh-huh.
So,
I could add something to that. Not only did she put the cards on your tables and things, but she set up that room, and there was a time one of you suggested that we change, just recently, suggested we change the setting of it when we were still up on third floor. And she thought that was a good idea. I don't know if she heard it because her hearing wasn't that great. But when I told her, she thought, oh, we got to do that. And so she says, you need to come early to rearrange the chairs and stuff. And so I came very, very early. And when I got up there, all the chairs were already arranged. And she wasn't there, but the chairs were all arranged just like, you know, somebody had asked. And then she came in her electric wheelchair, and I said, the chairs are already arranged. And she says, yeah, I did that.
and who suggested that?
Was that you, Wanda? Or?
I was the one who suggested
that. Okay, I thought you might have been, but I didn't remember for sure, so I didn't want to say. She really liked that.
She said, why didn't you suggest it before? I said, well,
yes.
I just thought, well, I don't want to interrupt anything.
Uh-huh.
And she said, well, I think that's the best thing that's ever happened.
Yes.
Said, I don't know.
I liked it too, and because it was easier for me to be on one side for several reasons. But as she was telling me about it, I said, well, how did you get it all done so quickly? And she got on her electric wheelchair, and she said, here's how I do it. And she pushed the chair with the electric wheelchair, and she was going as fast as she could go on that thing.
Oh, my.
So she had developed a style of doing, pushing things around. And yes, that was a very good idea. And now we're down here anyway. So did you want to say anything more, Wanda, or? Oh, okay.
Everybody else has said everything that I would say.
Okay. All right.
Well, yeah.
Yes. Well, anything else? Okay.
I know I went to her table and met her son, too. He is very nice.
Yes. Ralph, Dr. Ralph Gross, the son that lives here, is an elder at our church. And I've known him for as long as I've known Ruth, obviously, and maybe a little bit longer. Well, if there's no other memories, we'll sing the hymn that's on the back of your bulletin, Wonderful Grace of Jesus. Better make sure this is on. Wonderful grace of Jesus, greater than all my sin. How shall my tongue describe it? Where shall its praise begin? Taking away my burden, setting my spirit free, for the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me. Wonderful the matchless grace of Jesus, deeper than the mighty rolling sea, higher than the mountains, sparkling like a fountain, all sufficient grace for even me, broader than the scope of my transgressions, greater far than all my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus, praise his name. Wonderful grace of Jesus, reaching to all the lost. By it I have been pardoned, saved to the uttermost. Chains have been torn asunder, giving me liberty. For the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me. Wonderful the matchless grace of Jesus, deeper than the mighty rolling sea, higher than the mountain, sparkling like a fountain, all sufficient grace for even me, broader than the scope of my transgressions, greater far than all my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus, praise his name. Wonderful grace of Jesus, reaching the most defiled, by its transforming power, making him God's dear child, purchasing peace and heaven for all eternity. And the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me. Wonderful the matchless grace of Jesus, deeper thou than mighty rolling sea, higher than the mountain, sparkling like a fountain, all sufficient grace for even me, broader than the scope of my transgressions, greater far than all my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus, praise his name. That's the one part of this service that is the same as the other memorial service. That was one of the songs Ruth wanted at her memorial service. Wonderful grace of Jesus, because that grace reached her. So, let's close. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.